All right, I'm gonna have three prophets' corners first. These aren't real long, so before we get to the teaching. This first one is called the ministry order. When viewing prophecy, visions, dreams, etc., remember that it is coming through a human vessel. Based on the revelation, the status of mind renewed will be how pure this message will be. It will be filtered through their soul. That's their mind, their will, and their emotions. You have to understand that when you hear somebody say words. That's why there's so many different words out there. All right. Those with a more renewed mind and greater revelation will have a higher insight than those who do not. Even Paul gives reference to this when he was caught up to the third heaven. We'll look at that. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, there's a lot of words out there. A lot of words. A lot of books out there. A lot of things that are saying things that you know. That isn't true. And some of these people, they're highly sought after speakers and have big ministries. It's going to have to do with their renewal of the mind process, where they are. Because it comes through a human filter. It'd be nice if it just come out of your spirit. Your spirit just opened up and just gave you just pure without any. But whatever that person believes, where they are in their doctrinal walk or whatever, that's what's going to come out. You have to, that's why you're supposed to judge it. Does it line up with Scripture? Does, you know. All right, in fact, the prophets are supposed to judge one another in the church. They bring forth, okay. This is ministry order we're talking here, ministry order. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, and such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. So, what's Paul talking about here? He had some visions and revelations, and he saw things he couldn't put into words. So he couldn't properly relate to whoever what was going on, or who what he was seeing. Kind of like John on the Isle of Patmos. Think about how confusing that prophecy is, and it is a prophecy. And you've got 100 interpretations of it today. That's an example. I personally do not listen to anyone because I want what I say to be what the Lord is communicating to me. If you listen to everybody, realizing that they are saying what they are getting from the Lord, but it is coming through a human filter like Paul. The natural man does not understand spiritual things. The renewing of the mind process and the revelation of the Scripture play a part in this maturing process. We're coming up higher. As our mind is renewed, we have more understanding. We can see things today that we didn't see at all when we started 8 years ago. Did we believe what we believed to be true then? Yes, we did. But I'll tell you what, the Lord's had me go through the whole Bible, and I have had to unlearn most everything that I knew. And that's, I'm going, oh, dear God. And I'm talking Baptists, you know, and... Okay. All right, now look at 2 Corinthians 2. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For I make you sorry. Who is he then that maketh me glad but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrarywise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps, I think I'm reading the wrong thing. Anyway, it's common. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him, for to this end also did I write that. Hold on. Let's just move on, because I've got a lot today. I don't know where that was going. All right. This is me talking here. Before the 2022 election, prophets were coming out of the woodwork with a thus saith the Lord that Trump would win the 2020 election. When it seemed he didn't, even though we know that he really did, these younger prophets were backtracking and came out and apologized for the words that they brought. I even had someone ask me in these words, why did all the prophets miss it? And I said, all the prophets didn't miss it. I said, I never said one time Donald Trump was going to be reelected. I never said he'd have two terms, because the Lord never told me that. He told Mark Taylor that. He told this one, that. But why did all the prophets get it wrong? My reply was, they didn't. It just didn't happen like they thought. Now here we go. We're coming through emotions. We're coming through a filter, a human filter here. Well, I thought. There's the problem. It's what they thought, not what the Lord said. See, what we know can influence the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, Paul said the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, right? They know exactly what they're saying. They have control over it. They're not like a channeler. It's under control of an evil spirit, contrary to popular belief. They're bringing forth, there's a demon spirit projecting through them, and it's like they can't control themselves. See, the devil controls, the Holy Spirit does not control. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. That's why any word you hear, go to the Lord about it and ask him about it, weigh it. That's why Paul said for the prophets to judge. All right. We keep going here. My opinion, and I believe I am right, is to sit on words until the proper time of release. I've sat on words for years before I release them to anybody, just for this simple fact. If it's really God, it will bear out time. We're not blabbers. Prophets are not to be blabbers. Like I said before, I've learned a lot from Brother Hagin. Most of the prophet's ministry is silent. It is private. Very seldom does the Lord let me release a word. I may know somebody that I see and they're going to die. I've had that happen on several occasions. Did I ever get a chance to speak to that person about it? No. And there's many times I've had people that I don't even know, the Lord tell me why they were sick. Did I ever get a chance to tell them about it? No. Did I pray for them? Yes. I know things now that just are heartbreaking, but I can't release them and I won't release them, because that's not what prophets do. It's not just this little young upstart on the corner over there blabbing it, and everything they get, they just blab, 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 blab without any wisdom. You know what? You do that and you can tear somebody's life up. And you can ruin them. Look what's happened in the movement we see. You can't hardly trust anybody nowadays just because they say they're a prophet. I agree with Delora O'Brien. She was a friend, personal friend of Kim Clement. She's older. She's been in the ministry a long time. And she's a prophet. She said, I want to ask, what were you doing 20 years ago? In other words, the proving of time. What were you doing 20 years ago? Running around with your friends, having drunk parties, you know? Where'd you come from? Why are we supposed to believe you? I didn't intend to say all this today for whatever reason. You know what? God puts apostles and prophets in the body of Christ to be the top authorities, but it also means a greater, higher responsibility. And it also means you better watch that mouth. It's not just a, bless God, I'm a prophet, or bless God, I'm an apostle. No. There's a high responsibility. All right. I have learned over the years to just hold on to what the Lord gives me, especially when it concerns other people. And more times than not, something will happen to confirm that word, then I can release it. Danny and I even practice that same thing. We'll go to the Lord about something. The Lord will speak something. We had something recently happen, and I just didn't say anything. And he gets up and says, "The Lord said this to me this morning." I said, "Yeah, he told me the same thing." Now, that's accountability is what it is. And also, it's wisdom. To have a witness, you're hearing the same thing. And the multitude of counselors, their safety, all right? All right, well, prophets should never be babblers. Paul said not to put a novice in an office because of this very thing. Because they're subject to the devil, and the devil can take them out, just like these young prophets that have probably felt kind of destroyed and ashamed because you hadn't heard a word from them ever since that announcement. And they were on every TV show and everything, a-blabbing. You know what? They don't care how much revelation you have. You get it wrong one time, they throw you in the trash can. The Christian church devour their own. Hadn't you noticed? The church as we know it today. Not the true Lord Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. 1 Timothy 3. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. They got things on their mind all the time, or they want to fight all the time, or they just drink all the time. One that ruleth his house, having his children in subjection with all gravity, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Then he goes on to talk about the deacons need to have the same rapport. Those are the ones just pass the offering plate, right? Count the offering, do that kind of stuff. Novice here means new planted or young convert. That doesn't mean age. It can mean you got born again at this time in your spiritual age. All right, I am so excited of God's restoration of the apostles and prophets in the body of Christ. A lot of this will change because of it. There won't be so many different voices. See, this one band, one sound. The first set of apostles that Jesus laid down, they all said the same thing to all the churches. It wasn't this little church doing their thing, this church doing their thing, everywhere, all over, everybody's doing their thing. You walk in, you feel like a stranger, you feel like an outcast, you'll never come back because you don't like it. You feel. Why is that? If you were one band, one sound, you'd be able to go in that church and hear the same thing you're hearing at that church or that church or that church or that church. We're a body. We're unified, right? What would you do if a body did that? If your body did that, you'd be in a lot of trouble, wouldn't you? Well, we are the body of Christ. I mean, that may seem a silly analogy, but the thing is, We're either paraplegic or our body parts are out of control, right? Not doing anything or doing everything and all over the place and not doing anything, not accomplishing anything. Okay. All right, let me pick up here. There won't be so many different voices, but we will all, with the proper order of church leadership, be on the same page. I personally believe that a lot of people give words to be seen and recognized, but are they credible? Are their motives right? All right, we're going to keep looking at stuff. 1 Corinthians 14. Oh, by the way, the Lord added a new confession. You know, I gave y'all the confession over Faith Avenue as a partner. The Lord, and I think He even gave Danny this, about start to proclaim that Faith Avenue is the voice of the apostolic in the Permian Basin. The apostolic voice of the Permian Basin. All right. 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. That's in the church, not privately. Except he interpret, that the church may be receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things which are without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? Ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. He that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. See, your motive's right. I'm not here just to be a showboat. I had a prophecy and you didn't. You know, when you're young in the Lord, that's kind of the way you look at things. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I'd rather speak five words of my understanding than by my voice I might teach others also. Then 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. In other words, what's Paul saying here? You don't use the gifts of the Spirit aren't something we just instigate on our own. This is by the Spirit for a purpose. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. And the law is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that they are mad? If you notice, the older prophets, they're very careful with their words. They found out over the years with making mistakes and things like that, that they want to be right on before they deliver a word. And you don't ever see them backtracking. You don't ever see them apologizing either. But if all prophesy, there come in one that believe not, one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, at the most three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. I tell you what, if you knew you was going to be judged by every prophecy you gave or something that came forth, would you change your ways? Maybe a little bit? Oh. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. In other words, this is a body flowing together. This isn't a hot dog that's getting all the floor space. Everybody else that has something has to sit by the wayside because you're so-and-so. No, this is about deferment. This is about walking in love. This is about to the edifying of the body of Christ, the whole body. Not that, you know, this is me. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. That would be real hard for a lot of people. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. Now we've already looked at this, because at that time, women sat in the balcony and they were hollering down at their husbands in the service. That's what he's talking about. He's dealing with a problem. He wasn't a woman hater, okay? But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And you have to understand, these were Gentile nations. These women, they were harassed. They had to learn. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, instead of screaming it down from the balcony in the middle of the service when the Holy Spirit's moving. Get a picture of this. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. See, this is the scripture basis the Lord gave me for the church order, the ministry order, and the home order. Everything needs to flow as God intended for it to flow. All right. There is accountability to the words that are spoken. We seem to have lost or loose cannons going off all over the place, saying everything. And it's very confusing. If you don't know what you know, then it's very confusing. You don't know who to believe. All right, back to the Lord here. My apostles received revelation to lay down sound doctrine, with the vision of the prophets to establish a church where the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Paul himself recognized the messenger of Satan that buffeted him was because of this revelation that he received. Okay, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There's not going to be any apostles that don't walk in what they teach, I can tell you that. And there's not going to be any apostles that don't get their brains beat out every week, because they do. They bring revelation. They're held accountable. Okay. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, verse 1, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the full abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, and I might depart, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So because of the great revelation that Paul was receiving, that was laying down the doctrine of the church, there was a messenger of Satan that buffeted him everywhere he went, day and night. So you could say that the apostles and prophets would have the highest maturity, or they would not even be in that position, so they could rightly discern God's mind for the church. Like I said, he went on the backside of the desert for 14 years before he ever really appeared on the scene. He had to know, he had to have sound doctrine before he would be released to that position. Apostles go through excruciating long periods of training. Why? Because God is placing them in the highest place of church authority, and you're going to lay down doctrine for others to follow. You better know what you're doing. All right. The apostles are not novices by any means, and they are not appointed by men. Everywhere you look, we'll look here in 2 Corinthians at the very first, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Every one of his letters, you will see him saying appointed by God or by the will of God. He was not appointed by man. He didn't go to seminary either. He learned the hard way. Hard knocks. All right. If you notice, with each of his epistles, God's letters, and instructions to the church, he states that he was chosen by God. He went through many years of training away from the traditional church to get to this place. I mean, this guy was brave enough to confront Peter. That's pretty gutsy, I'm telling you. He made no bones about it. I mean, he ripped him up and spit him out. He needed to be. He was off track. He got back into the Jew junk. All right. Paul's thorn, like it or not, kept him grounded and knowing that all this came from God. He didn't glory that he had some great revelation. He knew it came from God. And that messenger of Satan kept him grounded and helped him to know, listen, you know, this is here because to keep you centered and keep you grounded and not floating off on some cloud somewhere with your great revelations. All right, 2 Corinthians 12:7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Isn't that how a lot of churches get in trouble? A lot of ministries get in trouble? You get to thinking you're better than you are? Yeah. Everyone you listen to has a different view. Now you know why. None of us has come to that place of arrival concerning revelation from God, but believe that is why God has set the apostles and prophets in place for accountability. What good is it if the church is fragmented and ineffective? Like I told you, we're like body parts with nothing connecting us together. We're all out there doing our same thing. There's an arm just out there flopping around, just doing our thing. What are they helping? What are they doing? Nothing. But when you get the parts all together and they start flowing together, even though they're all different and they all have their different, your brain does something different than your arm. Your leg does something different than your eye. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to explain it any easier. Okay, before you decided to listen to different ones, you might check into their credentials. Not many men's credentials, but how do they line up concerning God's guidelines? Based on what you know, based on what you've learned. Okay, are apostles higher than anyone else? Not necessarily so, but they are more mature. This isn't about hierarchy. Not in the home, not in the ministry, not in the church. It's not about hierarchy. It's not about, I'm better than you and you listen to me, bless God. No, this is about God's order. The woman submits to the man because it's God's order. You submit to your boss because it's God's order. You pray for your leaders because it's God's order. Everything's to be done decently and in order, right? The Bible is a spiritual book and has to be spiritually discerned. That means you have to spend a lot of time in it to renew your mind, to come to the place of maturity that you can rightly discern the word of truth. It's not overnight. You weren't born and you didn't go to college the next day. You had to learn through years, physical maturity, mental maturity, to get to the place you are today. It's the same way in the spirit. People don't understand that. A lot of people never, ever mature in their spirit. Never. They mature, they spend thousands of dollars getting their intellect built up. They may go to the gym and build and buff up this, but like Brother Copeland saw, he saw people inside. Their spirit man feels supposed to fill your body. He said they were stick people inside, starving to death inside. But they had big fat brains and big old muscles, but inside they were just dried up sticks. And that's what's going to sustain you, is what's that spirit. Not that big head or big body. All right, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I personally believe that to every scripture there are facets of revelation. And I've heard the analogy of teachers. It's like a teacher teaching, it's like they're on one side of the mountain. Well, here comes another teacher looking at the other, going up the other side of the mountain. He sees a different view than this one does. But they're all right. Okay.